Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.com. Net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another privilege and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, we here at Kansas City Christian Faith Center pray that everyone had a wonderful and blessed and prosperous Christmas and New Year. Amen. Now, let's get into the word. The title of our teaching is, We Must Know and Understand the Reality of God's Word, the Six Principles of Obtaining Strong Faith. Again, we must know and understand the reality of God's word. The six principles of obtaining strong faith. Amen. Now, let me give you the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Principle number one, you must know and understand the reality of God's word. You must know and understand the reality of God's word. Principle number two, you must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. You must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. Principle number three, you must know and understand the reality of the new creation. You must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Principle number four, you must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. You must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Principle number 5, you must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. You must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. And principle number 6, you must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. Now, if you have your Bibles, please open them to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read the verse we have been using for our foundational scripture for this particular teaching. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse number 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, again, I would like to emphasize that the scripture tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please our Father. So we know in terms of priority, faith is the number one subject. We as Christians should have a well-established knowledge and understanding regard. Again, I am not excluding prayer, worship, and fellowship as some secondary subject that we should overlook in terms of our obedience to God's word. But it is faith that pleases him, God, and causes him, God, to get involved in our lives. Now, as I have stated before, God's word is forever pregnant, always ready to birth new facets of information for our understanding. In this verse, he showed me something that I have never seen before. And it shows the cleverness of God. And I like to share it with you. When we study his word, he reveals more of himself to us. The scripture tells us that if we draw near to God, he certainly will draw near to us. Now, in this verse, Hebrews 11, 6, we have what we call a non-restrictive phrase. A non-restrictive phrase is one that is not essential or necessary to the basic meaning of this sentence. In our scripture, the phrase, "For he who comes to God must believe that he is our non-restrictive phrase. We can remove that phrase from the verse and it would not change the meaning of that sentence. We could read the verse like this: "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Let me repeat that again. Once we remove the non-restrictive phrase, we can read that verse like this: "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, when we removed that non-restrictive phrase, it did not change the meaning or the context of that particular scripture. But we know that our Father is not the author of confusion. So why did he put that phrase in there? Why did he put, "For he who comes to God must believe that he is," in that scripture? I believe he put that in there to encourage us in our faith, in our discipline to him. Amen. Now, our title for this teaching is, "You must know and understand the reality of God's word." Now, that simply means you can know something and not necessarily understand it. So conversely, you can know of something and not believe in it also. Amen. Now, there are a lot of Christians that believe that Jesus is their personal Savior and Lord. but they don't believe that he is. That's why the scripture says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. That he is. That's so important. And we're going to get into those three little words in a minute. Sure, they love the Lord, but they have a problem believing that he is. Now, let me give you a couple of examples to show you what I mean by that. Let me show you what I believe the Holy Spirit revealed to me. You say you believe God is a healer and he still heals people today, but you don't believe he will heal you. Yes, you love the Lord. You praise and worship. You pray. But you don't believe he will heal you. Now go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Again, Exodus 15, verse 26. It says, if you diligently, there's that word diligently again. It says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will not put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Now, the problem is most people don't believe that he is. He is the one that heals you. Sure, they love the Lord. Sure, they praise and worship, but they don't believe that he is the one who heals you. Now turn with me, please, to 3 John 2. 3 John 2. See, because if you really believe that he is, then you will know that he heals you. There's not even a question in your mind that you would not think that he will not hear you. Because it tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. We have came to God. So it says we must believe that he is. That he is what? He is the healer. Amen. He is the master physician. Now, there at 3 John 2, it says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So why don't you believe he is? Why don't you believe he is the one that prospers you? It says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. He is. Amen. He tells that he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He is the God that will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that there will not be room enough for you to receive it. Sure, you love the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. But do you believe that he is the Prince of Peace? Do you believe he's the Lord God Almighty? Do you believe that he is the Word of Life? Do you believe that he is the author and finisher of our faith? Do you believe that he is the resurrection and life? Do you believe he is the Alpha and the Omega? That's why this teaching is so important, because we must know the reality of God's word. We must know that he is who he says he is. Amen. I believe that's why he put that. And I thought that was kind of clever how God put that in there for us to realize that he is who he says it, because it says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Amen. So we must believe that he's who he says he is, that he is the Prince of Peace, that he is the Lord God Almighty. There's nobody else. That he is the Word of Life. That he says when he tells us to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat into his storehouse. You know, and then he said that he will open up the windows of heaven. Do you believe that he is the one that would do that? Amen. So I believe that was very interesting how God put that in there. So that was just something that I believe the Holy Spirit gave me, and I wanted to explain to you. You have to believe that he is. First of all, faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. And then we must believe that God is. And once we do, then he rewards those who diligently seek him. Now, we are on principle number 5. And principle number 5 is this. We must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. Now understand, when we talk about this particular principle, we are talking about those who have been filled with the Spirit. Those who've been filled with the Spirit. Now, every Christian is born of the Spirit, but not every Christian is filled with the Spirit. There are Christians that are born of the Spirit. That is salvation. And then there are also Christians that are filled with the Spirit. We have two different transactions here. One is born of the Spirit, and the other to be filled with the Spirit. Now, being born of the Spirit is salvation. When you have personally received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, being filled with the Spirit is to receive that supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that gives you the authority to act on God's behalf. Amen? Now, there is an erroneous idea that God is the Father of all men and we are all brothers. Well, that is not scripturally true. Well, God is not the Father of all men. Let me repeat that. God is not the Father of all men. Now, he is the Creator of all men, but he is not the Father of all men. Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. Again, that's John chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 12 through 14. So if you found John chapter 1, follow me as I read, beginning with verse 12. It says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. So we see here in this verse, it says, "But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God." Now, this scripture is talking about Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, who is the second person of the Godhead, the Logos. And it says, who became flesh and dwelt among us. It says, but as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right or the power, the authority to become children of God. Amen. So in this verse, it lets us know clearly that those who have received him and confess him as their personal Savior and Lord, to them and them only, he gave the right, the power of the authority to become children of God. Amen. Why would he, God, have to give us the authority to become something we already were? If we were already children of God, why would we have to receive him? If we were already a child of God, then why do we need to give the authority to become something we already are? He wouldn't have to do that. If we were already his children, we wouldn't have to receive him. Amen? For example, let me give you an example. Now, we are citizens of the United States. And what I mean by that, we were born in this country, here in the United States. Now, some of us was born in different states. And so, but we were born in the geographical territory of the United States. We don't have to take out naturalization papers. We are citizens. We were born into the family of the United States of America. So we don't have to have anybody to give us any authority to become a citizen of the United States. Now, a person who comes from another nation, another country, has to become a naturalized citizen if he wants to be part of the United States. In other words, he has to be adopted into the family since he is not native born. The scripture says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. If they were already the children of God, if God was their father already, then they wouldn't need any authority to become something that they already are. Amen? So God is not the father of everybody. And you need to make sure that you don't say it that way. And if someone does say it, you need to correct them by taking them to scripture and showing them in the word of God that they are not. Amen? Again, God is not the father of everybody. He is only the father of those who receive his son, Jesus Christ. Now, through Jesus Christ, his son, they are given the authority to be adopted into his family. Amen? Then and only then can they call him father. God is our heavenly father. If you have been adopted into the family of God by receiving Jesus as your personal savior, he is your father too. He is your son. That is the way you get into the family of God. The only way. There's no other way to get to God except through his son Jesus. Amen. Now please turn to, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it says, verse number 16. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Let me repeat that again. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, Paul the Apostle is telling us that God dwells in us. Our bodies are the temple of God. Amen. Knowing this, some people ask the question, then what is sin and what is not sin? What can I do and what can I not do if God dwells in me? All we have to do is realize that God is living in you. If Jesus was to come right now, just think about this. If Jesus was to come right now and knock on your door with his suitcase in his hands and say, I'm here to spend a week with you, what would you do? Yeah, if Jesus came and knocked on your door, what would you do? Well, the first thing you would probably do is start cleaning the house and getting things together, hiding your bottles and your cards, hiding the ashtray. You know how you do. You know how you do when guests come by or relatives come by. You start cleaning up real quick. You should have been cleaning up the house all along. Amen. Do things decently and in order. But you would probably start cleaning the house and getting things together. Like I said, hiding your bottles and your cards, hide the ashtrays. Make sure you have the best meat and food for him. In other words, you want to make a good impression on the Lord. Amen. You tell all your relatives and friends that come by to wash their mouths and to be careful what they say, because the Lord is in the house. And you do this because you respect the presence of the Lord. Amen. You respect the presence of the Lord. Amen. And why? Why do you do that? Because God is in you. Amen. Because God is in you. How can you put nicotine in your body? How can you put alcohol in your body? How can you put drugs in your body? Those things destroy your body. God is in you. He is not outside of you. So how can you do that? Well, you know what? We're just about out of time for today's broadcast. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It simply says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.